Blog Talk Radio.
Morning and welcome inside of this midweek 1 hour program called The Word. And that's what our focus is going to be today, is giving you the word in the middle of your week, hopefully to encourage you and to give you strength to make it through. And my heart is a little heavy this morning, as many of you probably have seen the news of the Amtrak train crash. And I was just checking the news here just moments ago, and it's confirmed that 6 people are dead with 140 injured, and I guess they're still trying to piece everything together. And so I'd like to open our program this morning with a word of prayer, praying for them, also for our program. As today we're going to talk about the calling, how the calling of God is actually an invitation to do great things for Him. But let's open in prayer. Father, thank You, Lord, for this day and for all of our blessings that we have. We're going to ask You today, Father, that You be with those families of everyone involved, especially those who lost loved ones with that Amtrak train wreck. And Father, we pray, God, that You would send them comfort and wrap Your hands around them, Father. Be with those who are still fighting for their lives and those that are battling, Father, and be with them as well. Lord, go before us today on our program, and help us to say that which You would have, nothing more, nothing less. We give You the glory for all things. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, again, welcome inside of the Word. This is going to be a weekly midweek 1 hour program that focuses on the Word of God to try to, again, encourage and challenge you. Today we're going to talk about the calling and the calling of God. And I want to start by saying that this is a very personal thing to me, because I had experienced something. I was praying at the end of 2014, coming into 2015. And I was praying, and I was praying a prayer that I've probably prayed every New Year's Eve, every New Year's Day, whatever, beginning of the year, for years. And it's something like this: you know, Lord, I want You to use me greater in the upcoming year. I want to be better than I was. You know, just asking Him to do bigger, better things in my life, to use me for His kingdom. And I can remember, and it was early morning hours, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning that I was praying this, and I can remember Him impressing upon me His word about the calling, and how Paul said, I haven't quite got there just yet, but what I will do is I'll press, and you know the scripture. And I was praying, and I began to study about the calling of God. And I began to take it back to the original language. And what I found was, I guess that I have always believed that when God calls you to do something, it's this supernatural power that just falls on you, and you just are called, and you're going to do it. And I've often questioned, because I know people I have believed that are called, and some of them don't follow through on things. And so anyway, I was praying this, and I began to study about the calling, and I found out that what a calling is, the calling of God is an invitation to do great things for God. Now, it's just like getting that wedding invitation in the mail, or that birthday invitation in the mail. And you get it, and you have a decision. You have a decision if you're going to go. You have a decision if you're going to walk that road or not. If you're going to go to the wedding or to the birthday party or whatever, you have a decision. It's an invite. And the more I studied, it was kind of like God was saying to me, Tom Sears, I have invited you to do all these things. I have already spoken these things. I want you to do these things. But I'm inviting you to do it. I'm not making you do it. And it really lines up with God's word, because God is a God of choice. If you listen to our What's Important Our radio program, I say this all the time. God is a God of choice, and He sets before us life and death, and He's asking us, He's begging us, really, to choose life. And so the more I pondered on this, the more I thought about this, it really just became clear that what God has done is he has sent, and I want you listening today, whether it be live or archived or whatever here on Blog Talk Radio, I really want you to get this this message today, because I believe it's vital and it's very important that God has a calling on our lives. He has a purpose for our lives. We're all born for a purpose, for a reason, but we do not have to accept the invitation that he has sent us. And that's why some people go their own way and do their own thing. And so I could sense in me that he was saying to me, listen, I have invited you to do these things. I have prepared for you to do these things. The only question is, will you? And so let's go to his word here this morning and begin to look at an example, because I believe that his disciples were receiving a calling, and it was a calling towards a greater walk, yet also a greater commitment. We're going to get our text this morning from Luke chapter 5. And beginning with verse 1, now it came to pass, while the multitude pressed upon him and heard the word of God, that he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes out of the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said unto Simon, put out into the deep, and let down your nets. And Simon answered and said, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their nets were breaking. And they asked their partners in the other boat that they should come and help. And they came and filled both boats, so that both boats began to sink. But Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was amazed, and all that were with him, at the amount of fish which had been taken. And so were also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from here on you shall catch men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left and followed him. I like that. I can remember years ago being, you know, I was in a full-time job, and I felt like the Lord was telling me to walk away. And I can remember thinking that about this exact situation, where when he said to Simon Peter, you know, I'm going to make you a fisher of men, leave everything, follow me. And that's exactly what they did. Those nets that they were worried about breaking, they walked away from. Those boats that they were worried about sinking, they walked away from. The question is why? Well, because of the calling. There was an invitation. And they knew that it was an invitation they could not pass up. Ladies and gentlemen, here this morning, we have a purpose and a plan in our lives. God wants to do great things, and sometimes it's the boats and the nets that are holding us back. Now, the boat may be a job. The boat may be a relationship. The boat or the net may be something in your life that's holding you back and keeping you from fulfilling the plan that God has for your life. See, he never promised that the cross would not get heavy or that hill would not be hard to climb. But he always promised he'd be there. He always promised that he'd come through for us. It really is a matter of faith, isn't it? It's a matter of faith as to whether or not we fulfill what God has for us. Because again, and I say this again, he has great things for our lives. Really what I believe begins to happen, and I've been through it just like anyone else, is that we know, some of us know that God has something in store for us. We know that God has something good for us, but we're afraid. We're scared. We're intimidated. We're afraid to take that step of faith and to find out what God will do. I've lived this. I understand this. I know that it's difficult to look into the face of certain uncertainty and not realize what that next step holds for us. But that's what these disciples did. But see, they had two boats full of fish. They had seen the miracle-working power of God. Now, on this particular occasion, they're there on the water. I believe that the second call to these disciples. You may remember he previously called these four fishermen, you know, Andrew, Peter, James, and John, called them to follow him. And they had. They had traveled with him to Capernaum, to Galilee, but they had returned to their fishing business. And it's natural. It's natural to go back to what makes us comfortable. It's natural to go back to what we know, what is familiar. But something was happening here as these fish were being pulled up out of the water. Something different was taking place. There was a realization that God was calling them to a deeper level of commitment and involvement. Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there today. Maybe you know within you that God has invited you. He has called you to greater things. But you know that it's going to require a deeper level of commitment and involvement. I believe that in the church world today, that's why a lot of people don't fully reach what God has for them. It's because, not because they don't want to, but they've sat down and they've counted the cost and they realize that it's going to require more of them, and some people aren't willing to give more of themselves. You know, the Bible says that when Jesus was done speaking, he said to Simon, "Hey, let's go ahead and launch out into the deep and let's let down those nets." Of course, Simon's first response is, "But Lord, we've done this. We've done this all night long. We've tried this." And see, right there in itself is another obstacle, a huge obstacle. As we are seeing people leave the church in record numbers, a new report out today, and I'm going to try to keep this from being a news article, but a new report out today talks about how millennials are leaving the church in droves. These people aren't willing to launch out into the deep and to let down their nets. They've got the attitude like Simon had. Simon Peter said, "Lord, we've done this all night long," and many people are held back because they say, "We've tried it before. It doesn't work. It didn't work." I'm really big on this word called kept. And here you are listening this morning or archived. Maybe it's in the middle of the night. I don't know. But when this is hitting your ears, you've been kept. Kept means to be preserved for future use. It doesn't matter what you've tried before. It doesn't matter where you've been before. It doesn't matter what you've went through before. God is calling you to a deeper level of commitment and involvement. He's calling you to be better than you are. He's calling you to do more than you've done. He's got a perfect plan for your life. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. This is the God that I serve. Listen, if he can take me and turn my life around, he can do it for anyone. He can do it for anyone. So Simon Peter says he's been washing, he's been mending the nets. He's doing this while listening to Jesus. And after all he had, these other responsibilities, these duties performed, he had to fish. He had to make a living for his family. And when Jesus said, "Simon Peter, launch out deeper into the water," I believe that it was an analogy of what God was wanting to do in his life. Because God was saying to him, "I'm going to launch you out deeper. I'm going to take you out deeper. I'm going to take your life to a place that is no longer in the shallow water where the nets come up empty." He said, "Simon Peter, I'm going to take you to the deep water, and when you put your nets out there, fish. are going to be in those nets. It's an analogy of what God was about to do in his life. He said, I'm going to make you fisher of men. If you fast forward to the book of Acts, you find Simon Peter standing up and declaring who Jesus is. And the Bible says, but 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom. God kept his word. God is a God that keeps his word. The Bible says that his word is yes and amen. If he speaks it, it's done. It's an analogy of what God was about to do. And I believe that same analogy can apply to some of our lives today. That God wants to take us deeper. He wants to use us more. He wants to do greater things in our lives. It's going to require more commitment. But see, with us, when we hear that call, that invitation, compromise, we're tempted to be guided by the people around us. Think about it. Whenever we feel like God's saying something to us, many times we run and ask someone else what they think. And you can ask 5 different people and you'll get 5 different responses in many cases. You know, I remember when I did feel the need to walk away from my job and to go full-time ministry. I had a lot of questions. I had a lot of people saying a lot of different things. And I do thank God for the people who stood with me because they did encourage me. And when things got really, really tough and I felt like I stood alone, God, that he showed up and put fish in my nets. And he did. He did. I am here today broadcasting live because he put fish in my nets. When he called me to go deeper, I went. In a boat that was unsure, that hadn't been tested all that well. But he kept me. And I thank him for that today. And I tell you that because I know that he'll keep you too. That's who he is. And that's what he does. But many times when we feel that God is calling us to something, we begin to ask everyone around us, hey, what do you think? And the truth is, sometimes we're guided by what they think rather than being guided by what God said. You see, the truth of my situation is, if I rewind back in my life to 2003, I waited 6 months after I felt that he was telling me to do that. And I battled and I struggled and I talked to people and I got more confused. So finally, I realized it was his word that mattered. He's called us to be men pleasers. Has he? No. Rewind. He's called us to be God pleasers, not man pleasers. He's called us to walk in his ways, not the ways of man. And so if you think about that advice of friends, now you think about, you put yourself in Peter's situation. He's got all these veteran fishermen around him. And you know that they heard what Jesus said. Let's do this. Can you imagine that there were probably some that were saying, Peter, whatever you do, don't do this. This doesn't make sense. This is not right. You've got all your nets cleaned up and they're stored. Don't do this. If you go out there into deeper water, you're going to throw those clean nets that you've already put away, you're going to throw them into the water and you're going to bring nothing up. And guess what? You're going to have to clean those things again and put them up again. You're going to do this for nothing. If you listen to those people, people will say, sure, but don't get serious about it. It's okay to do the God thing. Don't get serious about it. And, you know, I believe that in our lives we have firefighters and we have fire lighters. John Maxwell, I believe, said this. Firefighters and fire lighters. Firefighters are the ones that are in your life that whenever you get excited about something for God, they try to put the fire out. And it could be for various reasons. It could be for jealousy. It could be for whatever. But they try to put the fire out. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to surround ourselves with fire lighters. People that will get excited and stand with you and say, you know what? I'm going out in the water with you and I'm going to help you throw those nets down because I believe. And even if nothing happens, I was right there with you helping. So sometimes we get guided by the people around us instead of being guided by what God says. Another thing, when he's calling us to a deeper commitment, sometimes we get tempted by the experiences of the past instead of what God says. Peter was a fisherman. He was an expert in fishing. And Jesus was asking him to do something that was contrary to everything he believed. Isn't that just like God? To mess your hair up a little bit? To do things that don't make sense? Now, everything that Peter knew about fishing, and again, he's a professional, he can't see any way at all that this is going to work. Just doesn't make sense. Because the best fishing on the Sea of Galilee was at night, and it was close to the shore. This is not going to work, but he did it. Jesus had asked him to launch into the deep water in the middle of the day. Nets cleaned, nets put away, and past experience says this is not going to work. Somebody had to fish in the middle of the day in the deep water to find out it doesn't work. Experience. Some of us are held back by past experiences, good or bad. I've met people in church that say, I wish that it could be like it used to be. There's a lot of us longing for a move of God. Like I remember when I was a child, there's a lot of those people that exist. But the point is we are where we are, and it's time to blossom where we've been planted, because God is calling us to a deeper commitment, more personal involvement in this day and hour. Jesus was asking a great deal of Peter. Only thing he had was Jesus' word. He was asking him to trust his word. He was saying, Simon Peter, I want you to try again. Oh, listen to me today because I'm talking to somebody. I want you to try again. Even though you have failed, even though it hasn't worked in the past, I want you to try it again. I love that Casting Crown song that talks about, oh, I wish that I had the faith to stand before that giant or to step out of this boat onto the crashing waves, to get out of my comfort zone. That's what God is calling us to. Now, this lesson that's about to be taught to Peter and the lessons that we learn in our lives are lessons that help us in the future. Because we cannot allow our past failures to keep us from walking in the calling, the invitation that God has for us today. We have all failed, and I believe that you never taste success without first tasting failure. Failure is what makes success taste so good. You sit back and go, that's good, because you failed. God may ask you to try something again, even though you failed. God may call you to try something again, even though there's been a past failure. Question for us today is that, are we going to allow our past experiences to prevent us from following the plan that God has for our lives today? So we're tempted from going into the calling of God to the deep waters. We are tempted by people around us to listen to them rather than God, and we're tempted by past experiences. We're also tempted by our own circumstances instead of what God says. If you look at verse 5, Simon said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Then he said, nevertheless, at your word, down the net. When he said, nevertheless, I'm going to let down this net, he's saying that he and his partners, those working with him, they're tired. If you look at that word toiled, it indicates very hard work. They haven't slept all night. They're tired. They've worked hard all night long. But he said, nevertheless, at your word. See, says that the past evening is an indication that any further fishing will be pointless. That's what circumstance says. Jesus, again, asking him to take the clean nets, row out into the deep water, go through what is a strenuous process of letting those nets out, and then bringing them back in all over again. It comes down to obedience, and they needed to learn to obey. They needed to learn to obey Jesus and not circumstance. So then the question is, will we allow our circumstances to dictate our obedience? It's a good question. We're also tempted by our fears. This is something that shamefully I know all too well. To be guided by what we fear rather than what God says. Ladies and gentlemen, and this is so sad, but I believe one of the biggest, greatest issues in the church today is that we have lost our faith in God. I mean faith in God that He can move a mighty mountain. Faith in God that He can do anything. Really, fear keeps us from walking in our calling, doesn't it? It's one of the greatest obstacles that we'll ever face in our entire lives. The fear of the unknown, the fear of being inadequate, the fear of failure, the fear of just anything you can think of. So, now if you think about this, it will mean very little. Think about it this way. It'll mean very little if you do not overcome fear and you go skydiving. But because the parachute, Lord willing, is going to open, you're going to be fine. You don't overcome your fear as it pertains to following Christ. What a loss. Because of the purpose and plan that He has for your life, because of what He wants to do, if you allow fear to hold you back. So here on this week's edition of the Word, let me ask you this. What is fear keeping you from doing? You hear that still small voice calling you to deeper waters. What is fear keeping you from doing? You know, when Peter replied to the Lord, he said, Master. That word, master or teacher, is the Greek equivalent of rabbi. Peter was showing his love. He was showing his respect for Christ when he did not allow his better judgment, his circumstance, his past experiences, his fears hinder his obedience. Jesus wants to take us from where we are to where He wants us to be. But how does that happen? He pushes us. If you're like me, in the past I have done things my own way, life by my own standards, by what I felt, by what I thought. And I felt empty. And I felt tired. Once I said, I'm going to give God's way, I felt the reward. You know, the Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. And if God sends us that invitation, He gives us that calling. Obey. Go. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I've never one time seen God's people asking for bread and he for rocks at them. He is a God that has a plan. Doesn't mean we always understand the plan. Peter probably thought, what in the world? I'm tired. Can't he see that I'm tired? But nevertheless, at his word, I'll go. Obedience is not always this pretty little picture. Think about it. Think about the times that you have obeyed in your life to what God had for you. It wasn't always a pretty little picture. Sometimes it's fighting it a little bit. Okay, but I'll go anyway. But if we've done things on our own, we are left feeling empty. Our own knowledge, our own skills, they have failed us. Because what God, in the deeper water, in the deeper places of God, our knowledge and our skills will not be sufficient. It requires God's power to embed in us his knowledge, his gifts, his talents, his skills. We have to do things God's way. So if this applies to you today, maybe it's time to obey God, to accept the invitation, even if you don't understand how or why or where or when it's all going to work out. I understand that going into deeper waters is a very scary place. Again, certain uncertainty. I understand that. Been there. We'll be there again. As God tries to take us to greater levels of in him, to deeper waters, guess what? That's scary. But look at verses 6 and 7. That when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. As they harvested their catch, the two boats, each 7.5 feet wide and over 27 foot long, they were filled with so many fish that the boat began to sink. That's what happened when they obeyed. It's a new calling that he's asking this generation to go to, a Joshua generation that will focus on what's ahead. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, our nation's in trouble. Our churches are in trouble. Our homes are falling apart. We must go to deeper waters. There's something else that this call the disciples were experiencing that we need to focus on this morning. It was an invitation to greater intimacy. If you look at verse 8, we can see the effect that was on Peter. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now this request at first, it seems so strange. If we take it at face value that he would ask Jesus to leave, to understand the setting, the scene. And you have to understand it in light of what had just happened. This new revelation, this new power, this new glory. It revealed to Peter his own sinfulness. It revealed to Peter how small he was in comparison to how big our God is. Peter wasn't really saying, "Leave me, get away from me." He wasn't trying to get rid of Jesus. In this new intimate moment, he was overcome with how unworthy he was. If you study the words and break them down, when he calls Jesus Lord, it's entirely different than the word used in the previous verse 5. If you look at Lord, Kyrios, and it's reserved by the Jews as a description of God. So what we can understand from this is that Peter's reaction is what we would often see in the Bible whenever man has a reaction to a face-to-face confrontation with God. When the prophet Isaiah saw the Lord sitting high and lifted up, and you know his train filled the temple, what did he say? He said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." When Job had the same experience, he said, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I abhor or despise myself and repent in dust and ashes," Job 42, 5 and 6. What about John? When he was writing the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, verse 17, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." Whenever someone has come into this confrontation with God, this when I say confrontation, I don't mean it in a physical negative way. I mean whenever in the presence of God, introduced to the power, to the glory, to the righteousness, man becomes aware of their own sin, of their own worthlessness without God. Don't know what to do other than to try to get out of that presence. Try to escape, so to speak. He was saying, "Jesus, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. You need to leave." So Simon Peter had asked Jesus to leave, not because he does not want to be in his presence, because he feels unworthy in being there. So as we go to deeper waters, as we go into deeper places with God, we understand that it's only through Him that we can find forgiveness of sins through the name of Jesus Christ. And then it's in that understanding of the sin we have that actually drives us to Him. If you look at John 21, after the resurrection, Peter, deeply anguished over his denials of Christ, went back to Galilee and in the calm of his old haunts decided to go fishing. Perhaps to clear his head and to sort things out, he and his old friends fished the night away without success. Early in the morning, John stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. And he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then a disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him because he had taken it off and he jumped into the water. Peter stood before Jesus, beard dripping, breathless from his plunge, and charged to shore. Peter dashed to Jesus because he knew himself for what he was, and also because he knew so much better now who Jesus was. He's calling us to deeper intimacy. Those deeper waters, I should say, hold greater intimacy for our lives. This is what God wants for us. He's calling us today. The final point that I'd like to make on the program today is that he's calling us to a new way of life. If you look at verses 9 through 11 of Luke chapter 5 there, "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon." Jesus basically revealed to Peter, he said, "Listen, you've had one business for some time, the fishing business." He said, "And you're going to remain in that business, but what you catch is going to change." He says, "You're no longer going to catch fish, you're going to catch men." That word "catch" means to catch alive. You know, many times in our lives, it seems sometimes that we think that there are two kinds of Christians: those who catch the animals for the zoo and those who come to look at them. Catch alive is like taking animals alive for a circus or for the zoo. But those two types of Christians, that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're not called to be spectators. We're supposed to be involved in the process. If you're sitting in church, listen, you're not saved by works, but you're saved for works. We're not called, so to speak, to go catch the animals and bring them to the zoo. Or let me rewind and say, we're not called to watch someone else catch the animals, bring them to the zoo so we can sit and watch them. No, we're called to be a part of the process. All Christians are called to be a part of the process. We're not called to just sit there and listen to the message and then live our lives through the week and come back and listen to it again for our lives. There's a calling on us. God wants to do more. He wants us to walk in a new way of life. Peter was seeing Jesus in a new light. He was seeing him as he had not saw him before. He also saw his own hesitance to obey. He had confessed to being a sinner. He had confessed to the greatness of the Lord. Jesus, in his loving, caring, kind way, tells him not to fear and promises him he'll be a fisher of men. He said, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And when they brought those boats back to the shore, it was an indication. They turned their backs on the biggest catch of their lives and followed Jesus. How do I know this? Because verse 11 says, when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Everything that had been so important to their lives, everything that had pushed them, it was all about the catch. They walked away from to follow Jesus. Sounds like a huge sacrifice. I can see that. I want to encourage you today that if God speaks to you and tells you to do something, if he invites you, if he's calling you, follow him. Don't be guided by the people around you and what they say. Follow him. Don't be guided by past experiences. Follow him. Don't be guided by past circumstances. Follow him. Don't allow fear to prevent you from walking in what God has for your life. Follow. When they brought their boats to land, they forsook all and they followed him. That word follow is a word which signifies the deepest inward attachment. It's leaving everything. It's walking away from everything that they know and following him. I don't know what God will ask of you. I know he wants us to obey. I'm not sure if he'll ask you to leave your job. I'm not sure if he'll ask you to move to another state. I don't know. I don't have any idea. But I want to make something very clear today. He is calling you. He is inviting you to do more. He is inviting you to go to the deeper waters. He is inviting. He is calling. The only question is, will we follow? So here today, I know he's calling you. We know that he wants us. He wants us for a greater purpose. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers they're few. Imagine the phone ringing in your home and you know it's him. You know he's calling you. Will you answer the phone? Will you answer the call? I pray that you will today. Take it from someone who knows. It's bumpy. It's uncertain. Yet it's the best thing you ever do. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I tell people all the time that my greatest desire in life is to make a difference. Just want to make a difference. I've been fortunate enough to travel. I've been fortunate enough to have a ministry in the land of India. Just want to make a difference in their lives. Just want my life to matter. Then when it's all over, I can leave behind something that will be encouraging for someone else. Yes, God expects us to obey him. When he speaks, he expects obedience. So it's at his word that we go to deeper waters, that we let down our nets. He's the one that accomplishes great things. You know, I believe it was Paul who said, you know, one watered, or one planted, one watered, but it was God who brought forth the increase. Here today, ladies and gentlemen, on the word, I just want to encourage you that by faith, step out into those deeper waters. Even though it may seem so uncertain, step out there. Because he does have something really spectacular for your life. Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all night. We've never had success in the middle of the day, out there in the deep water. But at your word, I'll go. Will you go today? Will you accept the calling? I'm going to finish where I started. Beginning of the year, I said, Lord, I want you to use me like you've never used me. I want you to do greater things in my life. And I knew he was saying to me, Tom Sears, I have invited you to do these things. I have even prepared the way for you to do these things. The only question that remains is, will you? He's asking all of us that question today. He's telling all of us today, I have prepared the way. I have invited you to do great things. Will you? Would you pray with me today? Father, we want to thank you for your word. That yes, it encourages us, and yes, it challenges us. But we sense how much you love us through your word. Lord, there are so many here today that are listening to this program that you are calling to go into deeper waters, to let down our nets once again, even though past experience says we'll fail. Even though circumstances of the past or of the present tell us that we will fail. Even those in our lives, those around us, those people we love and trust, they are even saying it won't work. Father, one of the greatest obstacles, fear replacing faith, telling us we will fail. Father, I'm going to ask you today, someone hearing this broadcast, I know not everyone hearing the broadcast, but someone hearing this broadcast will say, I'm not going to let past experiences, I'm not going to let people around me or past circumstances or my fear hold me back anymore. I'm going to accept this invitation, this calling, and I'm going to walk in the direction that you've called me to. I'm going to be like Abraham. I'm going to get up, pack up everything that I have, leave everyone that I know, my own home country, and I'm going to walk into certain uncertainty into a place that you've called me to. I'm going to go. We need you, O God. We need your strength. We need your touch. We need your power. We need your mercy. And we need your grace. Thank you for providing those things to us today. We love you. Father, we would not want to close this program without giving an opportunity for someone out there who may not know you, may not maybe walk with you and ended up going in their own direction. Father, I'm going to pray that they understand and hear today that even though they feel so unworthy and maybe even worthless, maybe they're bound by something, Father, that's holding them back, that's got them tied down. Father, today let it be a new beginning in their life, that they stand up, they ask you, invite you, accept you into their hearts and lives. Father, we give you the glory for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for listening to this very special midweek, one-hour program called The Word. If you're that person out there today that you have not accepted Jesus Christ into your lives, into your life, I'd love to hear from you. I'll pray with you. You can, anytime we're live on the air, there's a number there. We'll stop everything we're doing to pray with you. There's still 6 minutes left of our program. Our number, the call-in number, is 646-929-0637. But if you're hearing this and you need prayer, if you need anything, I'm going to give you our email address. You contact, I read them personally. whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Again, that email address, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. Not only if you need salvation, but if you have a prayer request, you know, we'll share that with all of our listeners if you choose. If you want it kept private, just say so. We'd love to pray for you. If you have a comment, you have a question, if there's a question about the Bible that maybe we can help answer, we'd love to do that for you as well. whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. With that being said, I want to encourage you and invite you to be a part of all of our broadcasts here on Blog Talk Radio. We're very fortunate enough to be in local radio where I'm from here in North Central West Virginia. But all of our broadcasts make their way to blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow. And What's Important Now is a radio program that I've had the tremendous pleasure of hosting for 11, pushing 12 years. And it takes some of the things going on in the world today, and we just attack them. We bring forth some articles, some news that a lot of people never have even heard about. And it has a lot to do with how our country has a Christian foundation and how it's important for us to get back to that place. So I encourage you, you'll find a lot of What's Important Now radio programs on blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow. You'll also find this program, The Word. And we're getting ready to kick off another program, and I'm going to make the announcement on that actually tomorrow night live on What's Important Now, a two-hour broadcast of What's Important Now tomorrow evening right here live on Blog Talk Radio from 7 p.m. Eastern Time to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to talk about jihad in America and some of the things happening around the world that are pointing to the end of time as we know it. Also, the blood moons. We've done individual programs on all of those things. And again, they're archived on blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow. So we encourage you to be a part of all of that. If you'd like to learn a little bit more about our ministry, we invite you to visit newbeginningswv.com. That is our website for our church, New Beginnings Church. We're located in a little place called Good Hope, West Virginia. And again, don't forget to tune in tomorrow night for What's Important Now, because we're going to make an announcement about a new program that I'm going to be launching right here on Blog Talk Radio. So I love Christian radio. I love the Lord. I love my country. And we try to tie all those things in to what we do. And so with that said, this program, the word, is going to be just Bible teaching, and because it's so needed. And we thought that bringing it in the middle of the week was so important because, you know, a lot of people go Sunday to Sunday without so much as picking up their Bible. And so you have the luxury of listening to this at any point in time, and we encourage you to do that. Okay, let me give you just a few more things before we go off the air. Again, our email address is whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. If you have anything, prayer request, comment, question, anything, we'd love to hear from you. whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, and that is if you search Win Radio Program on Facebook, or you can search me, Tom Sears. And also, we have you can follow us on Twitter at T Sears, S-E-A-R-S, T Sears Win Radio, T Sears Win Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. All of our programs are posted to there, and you can stay up to date on everything that's going on. Again, our continued prayers for those that are involved in that Amtrak train wreck, for the families and those who have lost, we pray for them. If you'd like our mailing address, it's 8901 Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Again, that mailing address, 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. And once again, our web address, if you'd like to follow us online, NewBeginningsWV.com, NewBeginningsWV.com. Okay, we're going to wrap it up here. Again, prayers out to all of you. Prayers for those involved in the Amtrak train wreck. They've 6 people confirmed dead, 140 injured, and they're still working through all of the wreckage. So prayers for everyone involved. First responder, everybody that's involved in that, families who have lost, just continued prayers for all of them. In next week for another program, 10 a.m. next Wednesday morning, The Word. We're going to get right back into The Word, hopefully to challenge and to encourage you. Also, tune in tomorrow night right here on blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow. For What's Important Now, a live 2-hour program. If you'd like to call in, 646-929-0637. I'm out of time. I'm out of time, and I want to say to you, God bless. Take care. This has been The Word. I'm Tom Sears. Have a great day.